New Testament reading this morning is a few of the beginning verses of the 8th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. These verses come immediately following Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount, which Matthew records in chapters 5, 6, and 7 of his Gospel. The place is a mountainside just north of the Sea of Galilee, near the village of Capernaum. Hear God's word. When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. And Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Here ends the reading of God's word. In a large metropolitan hospital in this country, the neonatal intensive care unit experienced a sudden, sharp increase in the infant mortality rate. Babies that were seemingly doing well and progressing all of a sudden took a turn for the worse and died without any understandable explanation. The hospital reviewed what was happening and, unable to determine the cause, called in a team of medical experts from the outside. These medical experts reviewed all of the procedures in the NIC unit and found that they were top drawer. They looked at all the equipment that the NIC unit was using. It was state of the art. As they were discussing the situation, one of the team members happened to comment that he noticed that the NIC unit seemed to be a little understaffed on the second shift. And the hospital CEO said, "Oh yes, a nurse's aide recently retired, and for budgetary reasons, we have not replaced her." And then one of the nurses who worked that shift in the NIC unit commented that this woman, an elderly, grandmotherly type, whenever a baby would whimper or fuss, would go and pick it up and cuddle it and lullaby to it until the baby had settled down. And one of the team members asked, "And are the babies held as much now?" And the nurse said, "No, they aren't." And that afternoon, a directive went out from the hospital CEO, effective immediately, all babies in the NIC unit will be held for at least 10 minutes every 2 hours. And the problem was resolved. Now that true story illustrates that whether we are an infant but a few days old, or 2, or 20, or 50, or 80, we all need to be held, to be touched. Touch is essential for our physical, our mental, and our emotional well-being, illustrated powerfully in this miracle narrative that we just read of Jesus touching a leper. And this morning, I would like to consider this miracle story from the man who had leprosy's perspective. The touch of Jesus, as he experienced it, if he were here and this morning telling us his story. I was an ordinary Hebrew man. I lived in the village of Capernaum, north of the Sea of Galilee. I was a fisherman by trade. I was married, had children. I looked forward to watching my children grow up, to celebrating and seeing my grandchildren, to growing old with my wife. I was about as religious, as spiritual as the next fellow. We went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. We observed and celebrated the Hebrew holy days and feast days, and I made the required offerings, the sacrifices set down by Moses in the Torah, the law of God. I was familiar with the writings of the prophets that someday God would send a Messiah to rescue and deliver and save his people Israel. But I was a little skeptical of that until my encounter with Jesus. But I am getting a bit ahead of the story. It was one day while I was scaling some fish that I had just caught that my scaling knife accidentally slipped and I nicked the spot on my hand. I didn't notice it, for I felt no sensation, and it was not until I saw the blood dripping from my hand down onto the sleeve of my robe that I realized I had cut myself. I hastily washed the blood away in the sea, and it was then that I saw it, a little whitened spot on my hand in the place where the knife had slipped. That's how they say it starts, you know. Leprosy. A little deadened area of skin. It turns white, loses all feeling. Oh, no, it couldn't be. Surely my hand was just cold, numbed, and because of the cold, clammy fish in the chilly waters of the Galilee. So I tore a little strip of cloth and bound up the wound and went on about my chores. Then, a few weeks later, I hiked up the hem of my robe above my knees to wade into the Galilee and retrieve my fishing nets, and I saw it on my lower legs, several more of these whitened spots where the skin, the flesh, had become white. As the next few weeks went on, more and more of these white areas of skin began to appear. On my arms, my legs, my body, they lost all feeling. If I pinched them, there was no sensitivity. If I held them over the open flame, the flesh sizzled, but I felt no pain. I knew what I had to do. For Moses had prescribed it in the law, I must show myself to the priest at the synagogue. When he saw me, his diagnosis confirmed. Leprosy. Leprosy. I knew the fate that was in store for me. All more and more of my skin would whiten and deaden. The disease would then start to decay, to eat the skin away from inside, until these whitened areas became ugly, open sores, exposing the tissue, the tendons, the muscles underneath. My limbs would become paralyzed as the disease destroyed them. I would lose fingers, toes, my hands, my feet. My eye sockets would become empty, sightless holes as the disease wore away my eyes. My voice, my breathing would become a rasp as the disease ate away at my vocal cords and my lungs. It was a terrible, slow, painful wasting away of the body that sometimes would take 20 to 30 years until death would finally end the leper's sufferings. Even worse, I was banished from my family, my village, my friends. For Moses had taught in the law that lepers must live outside the camp. I would have to go and spend my remaining days in the leper colony in our area, content with only the company of other lepers as we sat there and called unclean, unclean to all who passed by. I would not be there to dance with my daughters at their weddings. I would not bounce my grandchildren on my lap. I would not grow old with my wife. I was a foul, vile, repulsive hideous creature, loathsome to myself and all others, a leper. I made my way quickly to my house. I stood outside and I called for my wife. She came out and I beckoned for her not to come too close, and I told her of the priest's diagnosis. Somehow, I think she had already suspected. She indicated for me to wait, and she went into the house and got a little bag of food and some clothing, and then she and the children followed me as I left my village and began to make my way to the leper camp. When we got to the place where the lepers live, she set the bag down, gave me a last loving look of farewell, and then she turned to go. Oh, how I wanted to rush up and embrace and enfold them in my arms, but I could not. I watched as she and the children became specks in the distance and then vanished over the horizon. Time passed. I settled down to life in the leper camp. More and more of my body got covered in the white, deadened spots, and some of them began, the flesh actually began to decay away, exposing the tissue beneath. I lost a few fingers and toes, but I was not as bad as others in the leper camp yet. And then we got word, for even we lepers hear of such things, that there was a young rabbi from Nazareth who was making quite a reputation for himself as a teacher and a worker of miracles. And we heard that one day he was going to be making a major teaching from a mountain real near my village of Capernaum. I decided that I would go and hear him for myself because my legs were not yet paralyzed and I could still walk. So I made my way to the mountain where he was to be teaching, and I sat down distant from the multitudes that had gathered to hear him. I looked up onto the top of the mountain to see a muscular young man in his early 30s stand up and begin to speak. He had a strength about him such as I had never seen before, not merely a physical strength, but an inner spiritual strength. In his words that day, how powerful, how meaningful. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy and do good. Pray for those who persecute you. Seek and you will find. Ask and you will receive. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Do not worry about tomorrow, but seek first the kingdom of God, and all things will be given to you. His words, his voice, they seem to me to be the very words, the voice of God himself. Could this be the Messiah? He finished his teaching and began to make his way down from the mountaintop. And of an impulse, I determined that I would go and see him. For they say he is a healer. I made my way through the clouds to the place where he was coming down from the mountain. It was very easy to make my way through the crowds. I simply held out my leprous arms and said, unclean, unclean, and the crowds melted away. And all of a sudden, just as he reached the base of the mountain, I was face to face in front of him. I fell on my knees and called out to him imploringly, Lord, if you are willing, make me clean. How would he respond to me? How would he react? Would he be like all other men? Away from me, unclean man. He stepped toward me, And he reached out with his hands, and he placed his hands on two of the most leprous sores of my body, two of the places where the flesh had been eaten away, exposing the tissue beneath. I realized in that moment that in that gesture, that touch, he was risking all the popularity of the multitudes that had followed him. For Moses had taught in the law that to touch a leper was to be considered a leper oneself. And I realized in that touch that I, a leper, meant more to him than all the popularity of the crowds. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." There is a word for his touch on me that day. The word is compassion. In my language, the Hebrew language, compassion comes from a root word that means stomach, intestine, bowels, guts. His touch that day was not one of pity, for pity is condescending. And it was not one of sympathy, for sympathy is superficial. It was not even a touch of empathy, for empathy can be aloof and distant. It was a touch of compassion. It was stomach for stomach, bowel for bowel, gut for gut. "I am willing. Be clean." I looked down at my body. All of my fingers and toes were back restored. There was not a leper spot on my body. All of the flesh was fresh and pink and as smooth as a newborn baby's. I was healed, whole. He spoke to me once more and said, "Go, show yourself to the priest, make the required offerings as prescribed by Moses in the law." I knew that as soon as I had gotten clearance from the priest and made the sacrifices taught by Moses, I would be going home again. I would be there to dance with my daughters at their weddings, to bounce my grandchildren on my lap, and I would be there to grow old with my wife. All because of his touch. Well, that's the way this man might have shared his story with us if he were here today about Jesus' touch on his life. What happened to him? Did he become, as some who were healed by Jesus, a follower of Jesus? Or did he simply meld back into his old life in Capernaum? We don't know. Matthew doesn't tell us. He simply says that Jesus touched the leper that day and made him well. There are two points that we can draw out of this miracle of Jesus. That touch of Jesus is available for anyone and everyone who seeks it today. He touches the guilty person, the repentant person, and guilt and sin is absolved and pardoned and grace is experienced. He touches the bitter person, the resentful person, and a brand new spirit of gentleness and understanding will flow. He touches the brokenhearted and the hurting person, and hope is restored. And yes, you are hurting as a congregation today, but Jesus' touch is available for you, and he will hear you, and hope will be restored as you let him touch you. Jesus not merely provided physical healing for that man that day, he healed his soul. One of the commentaries that I consulted in preparing this sermon said that Jesus healed the man of his self-loathing, his self-despising. And all of us, when we're honest with ourselves and we look in the mirror, we know that there are aspects to our personalities that we hope no one else knows about, places that we do not like ourselves, things that we do not like about ourselves very much. Jesus Christ wants to touch us and heal us in those areas. A woman came to her pastor and she said, if my husband, if my children, if my friends, if you knew what I'm really like, if you knew everything there is to know about me, none of you would like me, not one bit." And the pastor said to her, "Jesus Christ knows everything there is to know about you, and he likes you. He really, really likes you." And friends, the good news of the gospel for us this morning is that Jesus Christ knows everything there is to know about you and about me, and he likes us. He really, really likes us. In those areas where we are hurting and broken this morning, why don't we open them up to him and let him touch us? And then the second point that we draw out of this miracle of Jesus, just as Jesus touched others, he invites, he calls you and me, those of us who follow him, who are his disciples, to touch people for his sake. Gloria Gaither, wife of Bill Gaither of the Bill Gaither Trio, has written in one of her books, "If we are the body of Christ, we are the instruments of healing. We are Jesus to the world. We are the love and the warmth and the sunshine of his presence. Sensitized by his spirit, we begin to see and listen and touch. We begin to weigh the moments for the eternity in them. If we had eyes like Jesus, what would we see? If we had ears like Jesus, what would we hear? If we had tongues like Jesus, what would we say? If we had feet like Jesus, where would we go? If we had hearts like Jesus, what would we feel? If we had hands like Jesus, what would we touch?" I close this morning with a story about a man named Joe. Maybe you've heard the story. It's always worth hearing. Joe was a drunk who was miraculously converted at a Bowery mission. Prior to his conversion, he had gained the reputation of being a dirty wino for whom there was no hope, only a miserable existence in the ghetto. But following his conversion to a new life with God, everything changed. Joe became the most caring person that anyone associated with the mission had ever known. Joe spent his days and his nights hanging out at the mission, doing whatever needed to be done. There was never anything he was asked to do that he considered beneath him. Whether it was cleaning up the vomit left by some violently sick alcoholic, or scrubbing toilets after careless men left the men's room filthy, Joe did what was asked with a smile on his face and a seeming gratitude for the chance to help. He could be counted on to feed feeble men who wandered off the street and into the mission, to undress and tuck into bed men who were too out of it to take care of themselves. One evening, when the director of the mission was delivering his evening evangelistic message to the usual crowd of stilled, sullen men with drooped heads, there was one man who looked up, came down the aisle to the altar, and knelt to pray, crying out for God to help him change. This repentant drunk kept shouting, "Oh God, make me like Joe! Make me like Joe! Make me like Joe!" As the man knelt at the altar, the director of the mission stepped out of the pulpit and over to the man, and he placed his hand on the man's shoulder and he said, "Son, don't you think it would be better if you prayed, 'Make me like Jesus'?" The young man looked up at the mission director with a quizzical expression on his face, and he said, "Oh, is he like Joe?" A heart, a hand, our hearts, our hands can be so consecrated to God that when we touch, he touches. Will you pray with me? Lord, touch us in those areas of our life where we are flawed and broken. and heal us. And give us the mercy, the grace to love and touch others. Like Job, like Jesus, for it's in his name we pray. Amen.